Jesus took Peter, John, and James, and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Authority is something that is very important in all of our lives, although probably somewhere down inside of us, we sometimes resent authority. If you're a kid, you argue with your parents. If you're in school, you don't like the teacher's rules or whatever. Sometimes we grow up thinking that authority is something to be shirked, but actually authority is something that brings harmony to society. It's the basis of having a law-abiding community and modern civilization. Imagine if you were driving your car here in Phoenix, maybe on Camelback Road, if there was no authority to tell you when to stop and wait for the traffic and everybody just ignored the traffic lights, right? We'd find out in short order that we need authority. When you're confused about something, oftentimes you will seek out an authority and find out what they know or what they can teach you. When you feel sick, you call a doctor because he's an authority in human body and our health. And so what is our authority when it comes to our religion, when it comes to right and wrong and good moral behavior? Why was it that the disciples should listen to Jesus and what he taught when oftentimes what he said seemed to contrast with the authority of the time, the Pharisees, the scribes? And so the Feast of the Transfiguration, we can look at it as also a feast that identifies Jesus' real authority, the origin of his authority. As he goes up on the mountain, he has to have two witnesses. Now he's got three, Peter, James, and John, but they aren't the most important witness. The witnesses come about, God provides the witness through Moses, who appears in glory. And also Elijah is there. And then we hear a voice through the cloud say, "This is my son, listen to him." And so here's the voice of God Almighty giving authority to Jesus Christ. And in Jewish law, you had to have two witnesses in order for your statement to be taken in court. You had to have the two witnesses. And so Jesus has the best two witnesses he could possibly have. Moses, who for the Jewish people, he is the lawgiver. It was Moses who went up on the mountain and saw or was with God and brought the Ten Commandments. And so he's the chief lawgiver. Elijah is known as the chief among all of the prophets. And so those are the two pillars of authority on which the Jewish society was based, those two pillars, the law and the prophetic teachings. And so Jesus' two witnesses are the best he could possibly have. We have Moses and Elijah, both present to those words from God, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And so we're all called to listen to Jesus. We're also called to listen to other authorities that are valid in our own lives. Every once in a while, I'll get a teenager who doesn't like his parents' rules or her parents' rules, and they'll say, "Do I have to listen to my parents?" And I say, "Yes," because they're authorities that have been properly placed over you. And so, if somebody were to say, "Well, my parents make me come home at 10 o'clock, you know, that's unjust. My friends get to stay out till 10:30 or 11. I say, "You know what, even if your parents have a law that you disagree with, you still have to be obedient to the authority. You still have to obey your parents. The only time that you would have the right to disobey your parents are if they ask you to sin. If your parents ask you to sin, the only authority higher than them would be God. And so you can't disobey God. And so if your parents ask you to do something, steal something or whatever, I don't know what a parent would do to ask their children to sin, but if they did, you could say, "No, I can't do that. That's a sin. And I owe obedience to God first." And so even if you disagree with a rule that your parents have, unless they're asking you to sin, we still are called to be obedient to our parents. Now, Jesus' authority, "This is my beloved son, listen to him," is also still speaks in the world today. The authority of Jesus speaks to us through the sacred scriptures. And so we can read the sacred scriptures and know that Jesus is speaking to us. And God also tells us, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." Jesus' voice is also speaks to us through the church. Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you hold bound on earth will be held bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And so the church, as the body of Christ, speaks with Jesus' voice and with Jesus' authority. And so sometimes people will say, "Well, what if I don't like the church's teaching? Can I just disobey the church's teaching?" And it's just the same principle applies. Even if you don't like the church's teaching, really it's the voice of Jesus speaking to us through the church. But we can only disobey an authority if there's a higher authority. And so I can't imagine how, but if somebody believed that the church was asking them to sin against God, then we owe allegiance to God. But otherwise, we are called to be obedient to Jesus. And it's through obedience to Jesus and his word that we find harmony, that we find something beautiful in our lives. I remember when I was in grade school, I joined the band, and all the boys wanted to play the drums. And so I had to pick a different instrument. And I looked at the different instruments, and I saw that the trumpet only had three buttons on it. So I said, "Oh, that's probably pretty easy to play." So I picked up the trumpet, and that was the instrument I played in the band. I was pretty good at it. But the first session was a big chaos. Everybody doing their own thing, bunch of noise. It was horrible. And then the conductor comes up to the podium, and he's got that thin little white stick, and what do you call it, the conductor's baton? I don't know if there's a special name. Click, 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 click. Everybody gets quiet. The authority has entered the room. And he tells you what song to play, because everybody is playing something different. I was playing Mary Had a Little Lamb. They're playing Jingle Bells over there and something else over there. So the conductor explains what we're going to play, what tempo, what key it's going to be played in. And if everybody follows the conductor, what you have is something actually beautiful. You have harmony. But if everybody is doing something completely different and not following the authority, then you have really chaos. And the same can be in each of our lives. if we choose for ourselves what is right or wrong, rather than listen to the authority of Jesus speak to us, there will be discord in our own souls. And so those authorities that are around us are for our own good, for our benefit, for human enrichment and advancement and development. And so let us listen to the voice of Jesus as he speaks to us through his Holy Scriptures, as he speaks to us through his Holy Church. And as the Father in heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him."